So today, Sunday, Mother's Day, 2015, we're also going to talk a little bit about gun violence prevention. And one of the reasons that we decided to do this is that there have been a number of different violent acts that have certainly affected mothers and their children. So there are a lot of different ways to address problems. You can try and succeed. However, you have to decide what success is. You can try and fail. Once again, you have to understand or think about what failure is. Or another way to approach something is to work at it. As best you can, understand that success comes in waves and perhaps even fits and starts. And frequently things start when we decide that there's something important that needs to change. Julia Ward Howe apparently couldn't take it anymore about a variety of different issues in our society, and she decided she had to do something about it. Julia Ward Howe lived from May 27, 1819 to October 17, 1910, and is probably best known as the author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic. She was also, however, an abolitionist who worked to end slavery, an organizer for women's rights, and a tireless worker on behalf of international peace. And as the story goes, as you heard, she was also a Unitarian. The story says that mourning the death of her father in 1839, and soon afterwards a couple of other people close to her who died, she turned to religion of her upbringing. I'm not sure whether that was Presbyterian or not, but she said that she studied her way out of the mental agonies of Calvinism and became a Unitarian. In her efforts to advance the rights of women, she had a weekly publication in 1870, named Woman's Journal, and it was a widely read suffragist magazine. That year, she addressed the problem of peace when she wrote her Appeal to Womanhood Throughout the World, later known as the Mother's Day Proclamation. I'm going to read you a little bit of it now. Remember that this was written in 1870. She asked for women of the world to join in for peace. This is what she said. Again, oh, by the way, when you're a Unitarian in 1870, you still consider yourself a Christian. So there's some Christian language in here. Again, in the sight of the Christian world, we have the skill and the power of two great nations exhausting themselves in mutual murder. Again, have the sacred questions of international justice been committed to the fatal mediation of military weapons. In this day of progress, 1870, in this century of light, the ambition of rulers has been allowed to barter the dear interest of domestic life for the bloody exchanges of the battlefield. Thus men have done. Thus men will do. But women need no longer be made a party to proceedings which fill the globe with grief and horror. Despite the assumptions of physical force, the mother has a sacred and commanding word to say to the sons who owe their life to her suffering. That word should now be heard and answered as to never before. Arise, then, Christian women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Whether your baptism be that of water or of tears, say firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caress and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. There's more, but you get the gist. Now, on December 14th, 2012, another mother, Nicole Hockley, she had her life changed forever. On that day, 27 people lost their lives at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Nicole's son, Dylan, was one of the children who lost their lives. Nicole didn't write a proclamation about peace. And of course, still in mourning, she actually wrote a letter to herself titled, "To the Mom I Used to Be." Let me read you a little of that. 2 years ago, you were happy and whole. You had a life plan, start a new business, get involved in the school PTA, teach your sons how to ride bicycles, and play sports. Spend as much time with your friends and parents as possible. Watch your children mature. Grow old with your husband. You were optimistic, a glass half full person who saw the silver lining in every cloud and often felt so much joy that you thought you could burst. You always looked forward, never backwards, no regrets. You smiled and laughed a lot. You danced. Well, you're not that person anymore. And frankly, I find much of this letter too sad to read. I do want to read you the end of the letter, however, because it comes with some thoughts about dealing with the problems of gun violence, words of wisdom from another mother many years after Julia Ward Howe. At the end of the letter, Nicole Hockley says this. She says, "It hurts. It hurts. You suppress your feelings as much as you can because you fear if you really let it out, you would never recover. If you started truly crying, you would never be able to stop. It would destroy you." And here's the thing. Here's the thing, she says. You don't have to be that mom. For all the moms and dads reading this now, this doesn't have to be you. Because every gun-related death is a preventable death. These are not random acts. You can't ever say, this will never happen to me. It can happen to anyone, at any point, at any place. And she says, you have to care enough and be insightful enough to do something before it's too late. Just like peace in our world, depending on how you measure success, it seems the issue of gun violence is still very much with us. And just like how we spend so much time and energy, resources, and lives on war, there is something surreal to me about the issue of gun violence prevention and safety. Because according to the national averages, tomorrow, 289 people will be shot in the United States, and yet we only seem to take action when horrible events of broader impact occur, and frankly, when the media firestorm subsides, the action is often watered down and not effectively completed. It's a natural thing for us to be moved into action when tragic events happen. It happened right here in this congregation. Those who were so moved and so disturbed by the Sandy Hook shooting, we petitioned the Solano Beach City Council for a variety of actions. Here's what the petition said. It said, "The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of San Dieguito calls on the city of Solano Beach to enact effective procedures to reduce the likelihood of gun violence. We ask you to, one, join the Association of Mayors Against Illegal Guns or similar organizations. Two, revise the Solano Beach general plan to restrict sales of firearms to a single business," which we later found out was not legal. "Consider a gun buyback program with another North County municipalities and the Sheriff's Department. Support the 22nd Agricultural District," the group that runs the fairgrounds, thank you. I can't ever remember that. Support the 22nd Agricultural District's responsibilities and policies for extensive policing at gun shows, and work with them to eliminate gun shows in the future." That was our petition. And here's the report that I wrote, and I sent out to the congregation, so some of you had seen this before, on April 24th, 2013, after that meeting. I said, "After the Newtown shooting, a group of people came together at UUFSD wanting to do something about gun violence. Totally understandable reaction to the horror of this event. One and two long a list. Lynn Talley took the lead, and the petition was produced that was given to the Solana Beach City Council with a variety of suggestions. Tonight, here's what I learned. This is what my report said. It said the city council took it seriously, and they had the city attorney research the points, which shocked me that they, you know, it was taken that seriously. It brought out a very large response from one of the gun stores in town, which organized. They brought speakers and supporters speaking familiar themes. I think they were organized on Facebook. Lynn, her husband Jeff, and I, as well as one other man from the community, were the only ones to speak up on this petition. And it would have been much more impactful if there had been 50 of us standing in the Side of Love t-shirts, something that we should consider for the future is what I said at the time. And I also said we should have checked out the proposal a little bit better. Some were not legally feasible, which for me was a great lesson precisely because they took it so seriously. Now, here's a few wonderful outcomes as well. A couple of the city council members pointed out we boldly started an important conversation to have in our community, and for that we should be proud. That's like when a fundraiser says we got good publicity. I used to be a fundraiser, and if you didn't raise money, you used to say we got good publicity. We facilitated council members going on record, and a couple of them made pretty strong statements in favor of our position. We may or may not see the council decide to join Mayors Against Illegal Guns, but there was some interest. The issue of zoning was brought to the surface, and these stories got us to think about what should be allowed and regulated, and in general, they were supportive of the gun buyback program. And something else happened after the meeting. After the meeting, Jeff and I spoke with some of the gun proponents and the gun store owners outside on the stairs. These are not bad people. They are neighbors. Their children go to our schools. Some with our children, and in many ways, they too are concerned with keeping people safe. I am not naive, I wrote. I know at this moment there are wide differences in what people think and how things should be done, but some of us on the stairs decided we would go to lunch and perhaps tour their shop. Well, some of you know, the gun stoner and I met and we went to lunch. We had a great lunch together and actually agreed on a couple of important things. And then we had a Fox News story done on us. And it was a great story, done very responsibly. And it talked about the way we got together and the way we were trying to come up with solutions that would fit both our needs. Even after the story was on, the anchor turned and said to the person that did the report, "How refreshing. These two people are talking to each other." However, shortly after our lunch, as some of you know, he emailed me and said he wouldn't be able to meet again. He never replied to another one of my emails. I think because it was on Fox News, people saw it, and it seemed like he got some pressure. But I will never know because he wouldn't talk to me ever again. The other thing that happened was that most of us have moved on from this. And it was an immediately motivated emotional action, and then it was over, and we moved on. It's totally understandable. We're busy. We have demands on our time. Other issues rise to the surface, and we are drawn to them as well. We care deeply about climate change in this congregation, the seeming epidemic of violence to Black lives from law enforcement, immigration reform, mental health awareness and treatment, and a wide variety of other very important issues of our day. We move on, and we try to address what we can to alleviate suffering or support raised awareness. And it can be hard to work at it as best we can, understanding that success comes in waves and fits and starts. It's hard to take a long-term view when it calls for so much attention. Let me give you an example, perhaps, of what I mean by a long-term view. When Rabbi Lori was here last year to receive her Standing on the Side of Love Award, and we talked to her about training our congregation on how to build a long-term, sustained grassroots campaign for social justice that would make a difference in our community, she suggested that it would be a great idea to organize to get Big Five Sports right down the street to stop selling guns and ammunition. And unfortunately, that didn't come together. It doesn't mean it can't. It's not too late. They're still selling guns. And Rabbi Lori, I'm sure, would be happy to come back and help us. But it's an example of understanding that success can come in waves and perhaps even fits and starts. There's just some things in the world that take time and a longer-term plan. And some things take years. Some things take supporting things through great intensity and in slow times. Some things take a long-term commitment even when other things distract us. And even with all the good work that everyone does in this community in so many ways about so many things, in writing this sermon, I just couldn't get one thing out of my mind. For all the moms and dads reading this now, this doesn't have to be you. Because every gun-related death is a preventable death. These are not random acts, and you can never say, this will never happen to me. It can happen to anyone, at any time, at any point. You have to care enough and be insightful enough to do something before it's too late. There are so many things that this congregation takes on with passion and energy. There are so many issues to be addressed in the world. With this specific thing, we have not yet failed, but we have not yet succeeded. And it will take a long-term view. It is something that will take care and insight, and the time is always right to take one more step. May it be so.